want to share this morning out of Acts. Acts chapter 12 this morning, verses 1 through 16. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it please the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quarter of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. There were 16 different soldiers keeping guard over him. And he was like down in the cellar. He wasn't on the first floor, but he was behind bars also. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side, waking him up and saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself, and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garments about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him. It was not that it was true which was done by the angel, but he thought it was a vision. And when they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city. Now, I like how this happened, which opened unto them of his own accord. You know, you go into Walmart or a store, and you step on this thing, and these doors open automatically. And that's what happens there. God has a way of doing things, doesn't he? And they passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from them. And when Peter comes to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, "Thou art mad." But she constantly affirmed that it was so. Then said they, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door, they saw him, and they were astonished. And that's the scripture I want to preach this morning, that Peter continued knocking. And I thought, as I thought about this, I had written this sermon a different way that I thought God wanted me to go a different way to preach on it. And then he began dealing with me and saying, "No, I don't want you to go this way. I want you to go this other way." And things started rolling. The wheels started rolling. And things changed a little bit. Let me just have a word of prayer real quick. Heavenly Father, I pray for the anointing because I know the anointing breaks the yoke. And let you be seen, Lord, and not me. Everything that's said and done now, Lord, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And I thought there's different things that might have happened throughout 2023 in our lives that were disappointments or troubles that came to us. But it's God's desire this morning, no matter what comes our way, we continue to knock, or we continue to pray, we continue to go to church, we continue to go with God, no matter what comes our way. Years ago, in one of the churches that I pastored, two parishioners were standing there talking, and the one parishioner said to the other parishioner, said, "It seems like I'm just holding on by threads." And perhaps that was your way in 2023. You just feel like I'm holding on by threads. The one parishioner said to the other parishioner, "Well, if you're holding on by threads, take that thread and just tie it around you and just keep holding on." And if I can encourage anybody this morning, no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through in 2024, you continue to knock and continue to do what you're doing for Jesus, no matter what comes your way. You know, as I started, God laid on my heart, go back to verse 1 of chapter 12. And he says in there that Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain ones of the church. Vexation. Perhaps 2023 or before, it's been going on a long time, you've been vexed in your spirit. Vexation. What's it like? It's like a continual dripping, like a faucet that its washer has gone bad, and the water drips, 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 drips. You try to sleep, and all you hear is a drip, drip, drip. You try to read, and all you hear is a drip, a drip, a drip. You try to pray, and all you hear is a drip, a drip, a drip. Vexation of the spirit. Vexation, a continuation. Perhaps somebody, perhaps some incident, perhaps something in your life, perhaps the devil, perhaps the things in your life. You hear a continual drip, 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 drip. I go to church and it just drips, drips. I get encouragement, but it drips. Are you with me this morning? In Judges chapter 16 and looking at verse 4 and on down, Bible talks about Samson. Samson was one of the strongest people in the world. He was like one of our superheroes, or like the Hulk, or what is it? Superman. Or that goes back to our age. Or I don't know who they are today, but you know the, I don't know what they are, but you know who I mean. And he's in love with this lady by the name of Delilah. And I always thought that love was a two-way street. If I love you, hopefully I'm going to reap that back, right? If I sow love to you, And you think, because it starts out and he says he's in love with Delilah, that she's going to love him back. And apparently, they were a couple, but he'd go down to visit her. But this one time before he went down to visit her, the lords of the Philistine, or some of the leaders, they were tired of being whipped by Samson. You read some of the stories where he took 1,000 of them with the jawbone of an ass and he slaughtered them. He was constantly against the Philistines. God was using them. And they came to Delilah and they said to Delilah, "We would like you to entice Samson and find out where his strength lies, that we can afflict him and we can get back at him and do what he's done unto us." And said to her, "If you find out for us, each one of us will give you 11 pieces of silver. We'll make you a rich lady." Samson comes down to her house, and I can see her standing there or sitting there talking to him, and I can see her massaging his arms, you know, and go, "Woo!" And she says, "Honey, sweetie pie, tell me where your strength lies. You don't hold anything from me." And he says, "Well, I'll tell you, sweetie pie. You get 7 straps of leather that are wet, not dry, tie them around me, and I'll be like other men, I won't have any strength. I'll be weak." He perhaps goes back home, comes back next day, and lying in wait in another room are some of the Philistines. And she says, "Let's try this. I got 7 of them. Let's put them around there." Ties them up, and then one of the Philistines sticks his head out, and she says, "The Philistines are upon us." And he breaks them. And he whips them. She says, "Honey, you lied to me." And maybe massaging his, both of them this time. And says, "You've mocked me. You lied to me. Tell me where your strength lies." "Well, if you get brand new ropes that nobody's ever used and tie me up." She says, "I'll be like other men. I won't have strength." He perhaps goes back home, comes back next day. She's got brand new ropes. "So we're going to play a game. I'm going to tie you up." And then all of a sudden, they're hiding again in another room. She says, "Here comes the Philistines." And he breaks the ropes. It happens. She goes through the same scenario and says, "You've lied to me. You mock me." And says, "If you weave my hair together into 7 locks, that's where my strength lies." Same scenario. They're off in another room. He falls asleep on her lap while she's curling his hair, puts him in 7 locks. Says, "The Philistines are upon us." And he breaks loose again. Now, here's the clincher. Finally, she says to him, "You know, it started out, he's in love with her. And she's supposed to be in love with him." She says to him, "Honey, you don't love me. Your heart is not with me." Well, whose heart isn't with him? Who doesn't love him? The Bible says, she pressed him daily. That it vexed his soul. That's what it says, it vexed his soul. The continual dripping. And perhaps some of you going through some of that this morning. Samson gave in. But don't you give in for 2024. Winston Churchill. Heard of how witty he was? There was a woman that didn't like him. And she'd send him notes and tell him how terrible he was. One day she had an audience with him and stood before him and said to him, if I was married to you, I'd poison your drink. He looked at her and said, if I was married to you, I'd drink that drink. You know what I mean, Pastor? Vexed. Don't give in to it. You keep living for Jesus. He's your Lord and Savior. Don't you give up. You're in the best retirement program there is. Continue to live for Jesus. You with me? No matter how difficult it gets. You know what else I thought about that went along with that? Rhoda. They said to Rhoda, they came against her, they said. They wouldn't open the door. Peter continued knocking. And they said to her, you're mad. You're nuts. You're crazy. As I thought about that, I thought, when I was a kid, when I was a child, I was taught something, and I thought it was the truth. Have you ever heard that sticks and stones may hurt my bones, but names will never hurt me? That's a lie. Names do hurt. Things said about you, that hurts. Are you able to let those things go? Are you able to turn the other cheek? You got to forgive. We pray that in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us of our sins as you forgive us, as we forgive others. You know why you forgive? You're not justifying something that somebody said about you or did to you. You're getting your life on. They got to give account for what they said and did, don't they? Let it go. Let it go. The thing will eat at you and destroy you. Are you with me? Names do hurt. Things that people say that are not nice about us, it hurts. But let it go. Turn it over to God. You know what else God laid on my heart? This one really got to me. In verse 3, when they took Peter into prison and he was going to put Peter to death, he saw it pleased the Jews. But he wouldn't do anything because it was a day of unleavened bread. You know, God laid on my heart the hypocrite. Play in church. I beg you this morning. I beg you. You know what's in your heart. God knows what's in your heart. If you're one that's just playing church, don't play the game with your soul. Pastor, I met different ones, different ministers talked to, and I'm sure you have too. And they shared a lot of the same stories with me that of parishioners. And I experienced almost identical things that many of them said. And one example was of being called to the deathbed of a loved one. And when they got there, the lady's laying there and she says, "I can feel the flames of fire on my feet. It's so hot. I can feel the flames of hell." And the minister's begging her, "Accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It's not too late. The thief on the cross did it in his dying moments." And she said, "It's too late. It's too late." And she died and went off into eternity. Don't play games with your soul. If you're not right with God, make things right with God. Jesus is the only way. 747 times in the New Testament, it refers to Jesus Christ as Lord. He's either the Lord that's living inside your heart or He's not. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Don't play games. Matthew 26, Mark 14, Mark 15, Luke 23, and John 18, John 19. It's all about the crucifixion of Christ. And there's these religious leaders, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the scribes, and some of the Jews that are leaders. And they're the ones that's supposed to know the Word of God. They told Herod that Jesus was born in Bethlehem according to the Word. And they're the ones that are preaching. They're the ones that are filling the pulpit. And they're supposed to know this from cover to cover. And all they want to do is kill Jesus. And they take a group of their own people with swords. They bring Jesus into a room. And they bring all kinds of accusations against him. None of them line up. And one finally says, "Well, he said he would destroy the temple and in 3 days rebuild it." But they couldn't find somebody to agree with them. And so one of the religious leaders, whole group of them in there. And one of the said, "Are you the Christ? Are you the Son of God?" He says, "Yes." He says, "I am the Son of God." And he says, "You're going to see me sit on the right hand of God the Father. And then you're going to see me come in clouds of glory. And you're going to regret the day." I added, "regret the day." But he says, "You're going to see me." And you know what the religious leaders do? They spit on them. And then a couple of them, they start slapping them in the face. And then they pull a bag over his head and they punching them with their fists. And then they turn them over to Pilate. And they're telling Pilate, "Crucify him. Let a thief go. Let him be released." And when Jesus is on the cross, they're wagging their heads, sticking out their tongue. Read it, it's in the Bible. These are the religious leaders. And then when Jesus said it's finished, they go to Pilate and they said, "Don't let him stay on the cross because it's the Sabbath tomorrow. And it's wrong according to the Bible. Now we want to have church." Bible says, "What will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Jesus said, you're lukewarm. You're neither hot nor cold. He says, "I'll spew you out of my mouth." He said, you've left your first love. Are you in love with Jesus? Is he your Lord and Savior this morning? Don't play games with your soul. Don't play games with God. I know a pastor wants to make sure you're right with Jesus. The Jews, they were excited. Peter's in prison. Doesn't make sense. You know what else God laid on my heart? Herod killed James, the brother of John. So I thought about that. You know, one of our biggest enemies as a Christian is death. Nothing hurts as bad. Before we moved from our last pastorate, we were pastoring three churches and doing hospice. I was hired by a hospice group. I was putting in about 60 to 80 hours a week. Did many a funeral and sat at many funerals. And one of the things that I always noticed is, it's when somebody dies, the family would have all kinds of people come around. And I'd hear the minister or the reverend pastor, he would preach the sermon. But then after the funeral's done and nobody's there, the person goes home. And so many times I've heard pastor pray when we've been here, he would pray about for the different ones that at home, and there's that empty chair. All of a sudden, when the person dies, you're left with those. Pain in here. Can I say that? Doesn't matter how many years it is sometimes. Once heard a minister at one of the funerals preach, well, love is like a light switch. When they die, you just turn it off. That's a lie. Something goes on inside there. John chapter 11. In John chapter 11, it says, now Lazarus was sick, and Mary and Martha were his sisters. And Mary was the one that anointed the feet of Jesus with the costly perfume and dried it with her hair. And the Bible says that these sisters sent word unto Jesus that whom thou lovest is sick unto death. Grasp hold of that thought. Whom thou lovest. Now, verse 5 really caught my attention. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. I even put my name in there. If you don't get anything out of this sermon this morning, grasp this thought. Jesus doesn't just love Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Jesus loves you, 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 you. You are important to God. You're important. Jesus loves you so much. That he was willing to give his life for you. And Jesus waited. After about the second day, he says, let us go to Bethany. Let's go to Judea. And the disciples said to him, "The Jews of old sought to kill you." And Jesus said, "While it's yet day, we got to go." And he says, "Lazarus sleepeth." And the disciples said, "Well, if he's sleeping, he's going to be okay." And Jesus said, "He's dead. And I'm glad for your sake that you can see the power of God and believe." And Thomas puts his foot in his mouth and he says, "Let's go and die." They get there almost to where Lazarus is. Martha comes running out and says, "If you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died." And Jesus said, "He will rise again." And she said, "I know he will on resurrection day." And Jesus said, "I am the resurrection, the life." And he said, "He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." And then he goes on to say, "And whosoever liveth and believeth on me shall never die." He says, "Do you believe that? Heaven's your home, eternal life, everlasting life." And she says, "I believe." She runs and tells Mary. Mary's got a bunch of mourners that are with her. And Mary comes where Jesus is. And she bows before him and says almost the same thing. And she's crying. And Jesus looks at her, groans in his spirit, and says, "Where have you laid him?" They went to where he was laid, and all these people are crying, including Mary. Shortest scripture in the Bible. And if you don't get anything else out of this sermon, grasp this. Jesus wept. I often wondered, why did Jesus weep? Some have said, "Well, I think he wept because everybody is crying." I don't think so. I believe Jesus wept because he felt what she felt. Jesus loves you so much. And maybe you're alone and you find yourself weeping over the death of a loved one. That's happened maybe last year, maybe the year before, maybe years ago. You know who's weeping with you? He sits on the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for you. You are important to God. He cares about you. You know that, Terry? He loves you. He weeps with you. Nobody else might seem to care, and they don't understand. Jesus understands. You hold in there. 2024. 2023 is another day gone by. Tomorrow. You with me? Old things pass away, all things become new. You hold in there. I want to end with Acts 27 in the last verse. And Paul is on a ship that's headed to Rome. And on that ship headed to Rome, for 14 days, they got the worst storm. And it's so bad that some of the crew and some of the soldiers want to get off. And they put the lifeboats down to get off into them. And Paul said, "An angel stood before me and said, everybody's got to stay on this boat." Told the soldier that. So they cut off the lifeboats. 276 people on this ship. Paul said to them all, "Get something to eat. You haven't eaten in days." So they all had their last meal, threw everything off the ship. They pulled the anchors up, and the ship started going and it met into another ocean. And the two seas clashed together. And the soldiers wanted to kill all the prisoners. And Paul said, don't touch them. He said, let those that can swim, swim off into the island. The ship broke. Paul said, everybody's going to be okay. I want to read this last verse to you. And the rest. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they could swim, should cast them first into the sea and get to the land. And the rest, some on boards, some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass, they escaped all to safe land. Some of them could swim to the island, some of them couldn't. They held on to a piece, or they held on to a board. I want to encourage you. You're important to God. You hold on to what you can with Jesus. No matter what comes your way, you continue for 2024. Continue to knock. I told Peter when we came in, I said, I wanted to do for a concluding song after my sermon, until then. But God kept dealing with me that I needed to change it. And I want to do 185. Jesus loves me. You are important to God. Let me just pray as Peter comes up in the organist. Heavenly Father, I pray that your word doesn't return void, Lord. I shared what I felt you wanted me to share this morning, Lord. Lord, I'm so thankful for your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.